Thank you for listening to the Tatnus Podcast on the Tatnus Co. Network.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. A Mercedes, kind of sentiment, luxury, and trust in me to honor the free we all should be in. Sees my sons outburst into yin and yang, and left me.
What's cracking, you guys? Happy Halloween season. My guest today is a very good friend of mine. Honored to call him a friend. This guy's been in just about every fucking movie you can imagine. Some of them are uncredited, but he's there. And he makes horror films himself. And he's got his own show, the Jimmy Starr Show with Ron Russell. My boy, Jimmy Starr. Amazing human being. You're not going to want to miss this. Check it out.
All right. Well, it felt like I was waiting forever because you've been booked for quite some time, and I was just waiting for the day to come. So it's good to finally fucking talk.
Now I'm here! Yay!
Right? I was contemplating doing fucking like a little mini series, just, you know, not even having you involved, just going through your fucking resume. You know, it's that much.
I'm lucky. I've had a lot of great experiences, and I got a lot of stuff going on.
Absolutely. I was like, Jesus, I looked through, you know, everything you've done, and I was like, holy fuck, you've probably forgotten more than I've done in my life.
Now, you got a pretty extensive resume too. So you have to, like, you know, give yourself props all the way along, dude. You're like multi-talented. You got tons of shit going on just like me.
Well, I appreciate that. Thanks, brother. Fucking Halloween season is awesome, and the purpose behind what I'm doing was everybody got in an uproar over the new Halloween movie being postponed a year because of the COVID bullshit, and then it became, holy fuck, Halloween itself is canceled, and I don't know about that, but that seems to be everyone's worry. So I thought, okay, well, you know, fucking, we've talked off air how I love October, you love October. So,
favorite ones. Besides, right, the fact that it's my birthday falls, and I'm the biggest horror movie fan like ever. And so the fact that I started as a horror fan and now I'm friends with all the big horror stars, it's kind of like a pinch me moment, you know, that I get the opportunity to hang out with, you know, the people that I really loved as I was growing up.
You see, I love that. I'm in the same boat where I'm now, you know, I grew up with Nightmare on Elm Street and shit like that, which I loved. I've been obsessed with it since I was a child. I used to sit up every night at 6 years old watching fucking Freddy's Nightmares and shit when it was on TV. And now I'm friends with Ken Sagos. I'm friends with Mick Strawn, who worked on the show as a set designer and shit like that, amongst so many other people. And it's a trip. So I totally understand that. And so I decided with this whole thing, I was like, well, everyone's freaking out that Halloween's canceled. I'm like, fuck that. I'm going to give you something to look forward to all month. It's going to be just horror-based or paranormal, whatever the hell people want to get into. And I'm going to get all my friends from the horror industry on the show and give you guys something to look forward to. And you've done fucking tons. So, I mean, that's awesome. You know, like,
actually, because today is Clive Barker's birthday,
I saw that.
So I put a picture up on Facebook of Clive Barker and I, because one of my greatest horror experiences in life was to spend like 8 hours just Clive Barker and I and two other people talking. And so I started out in the entertainment industry. Well, not really, because I was always an actor and extra and stuff, but I started becoming bigger in the horror movie industry when I started my show and I was a celebrity clothing designer and I used to dress like everybody. I've dressed everybody in my one-of-a-kind clothes. So I was at a convention in Florida and I had met Clive Barker. I always paid for the VIP pass so I didn't have to wait in line. And I introduced myself and I said, I got a room full of clothes I'd love for you to take a look at. I'll give you anything that you'll wear. And he said, oh, I don't know if I'm really going to have time to do that, you know, this trip, but thank you so much. So then Doug Bradley came, and he's been a friend of mine for years, and I gave him a couple of shirts. And Doug Bradley, for anybody who doesn't know, is Pinhead in all the Hellraiser movies. And And Doug Bradley, after leaving with the shirts, walked into, saw Clive Barker, and Clive Barker loved the stuff. And then I got a phone call at 11 o'clock at night from Clive Barker. Hey, can I come to your room and look at the stuff? And I said, sure, no problem. And so I ran back to the room and I invited two other people because everybody was big Clive Barker fans. And, you know, at this convention to meet him, you had to wait in like a 5-hour line, you know, because like everybody was trying to meet him. And so he came to the room and he just looked through the clothes, and then we just started talking and we had a really good time. And then we took all kinds of pictures with him wearing different clothes. And then he took one of his books, Aberrat, and he brought it with, he called and somebody came and brought me one of his books. And then he sat there while he was talking to us and he drew a one of a kind drawing on the inside flap just for me. And then he took a bunch of clothes and invited me to his house in LA. And I mean, it was just like, literally he stayed until 7 o'clock in the morning. So from 11 o'clock at night till 7 o'clock in the morning, he's telling us who in Hollywood, which I won't out people, but who was gay, who he had sex with and all kinds of shit. Like it was like just a down and dirty, like gossipy, you know, fun horror. So I know every horror movie and who every horror star and who they're like into and what they're into and all kinds of stuff. And it was literally one of like the greatest like nights of my life to actually spend that much time without anybody else bothering us, you know, just us sitting there and shooting the shit for 8 hours. It was phenomenal. And I still have it. Like I have all kinds of pictures. And he recently, a couple of years ago, he sent me his first comic book that he did a new comic book series and he signed it and sent it to me. So I've got all this like Clive Barker, one of a kind, like memorabilia, you know, that is my treasure. Everything in my office is either horror movies or superheroes, and almost everything is signed.
Yeah, you showed me off air your collection. I gotta say, it makes mine look like a little bitch. I have a cool shelf that I was pretty happy with, and now I have a complex. So thank you. you know, you got some pretty solid shit. I just got a book from Mick Strawn, which is really cool. He was the production designer for Nightmare on Street 3 and 4. He signed it, but he also gave me a nice little insult because he's a friend of mine, and why, you know, what's a little ball busting amongst friends, right? So couldn't be happier with that. I wish he would have spelt my fucking name right though, but
I have all of them. Like I have Kane Hodder's autograph book, I have Lance Henriksen. So Lance Henriksen is my favorite horror actor. Like I've just been a Lance Henriksen fan my entire life, literally. And Malcolm McDowell is my other one. And so we were at a convention and I went up to Malcolm McDowell after I waited in the small line for the VIP people to take a picture with him. And I whispered in his ear, "I know you're straight, but if you were gay, I would rock your world." He fucking loved it. He came, he like took clothes. The next, he called me a couple hours later. He's like, "I have tea break. You want to come have tea?" And then we went and had tea. And then I went to dinner with him and his manager and a bunch of people. And then the next morning I had breakfast with Lance Henriksen, Doug Bradley and Malcolm McDowell and I for breakfast. And I was like, oh my God, I am in my fucking glory. Like it couldn't even get any better than this. Like my favorite actors. And here we all are having breakfast and everybody's looking at me like, who the fuck are you? And I just loved it.
Man, if it wasn't so damn muggy right now, I would have worn my fucking long sleeve Clockwork Orange shirt. I fucking love Malcolm.
He gave me a little statue of him as the guy in Clockwork Orange, and he signed the back of it. It's like a little orange statue of him in Clockwork Orange. And Lance Henriksen gave me a tile. So he makes these like alien tiles of the alien monster, and they're beautiful, one of a kind. They're beautiful. He doesn't sell them or anything, but he had it on display. You can find them on eBay, but they're like thousands of dollars. And so he had it all weekend at his thing. And at the end of the weekend, I just walked up and said, "I had such a great time. Thanks for dinner and breakfast and all these like great things." And he said, "Here, I want to give you this." And he picked the tile up and he wrote, "You're a badass motherfucker" on the back of it. And he fucking signed it to me. And I was like, oh my God, you know, here's my like icon. And he's like giving me this shit that like everybody would die to have this thing. It's like my most prized possession is one of my most prized possessions.
I love it.
So I think that the horror thing is awesome, and And I like anything that Lance Henriksen's in, even if it's shitty, I like it just because he's in it. You know, because he makes everybody, all those horror guys, they all make a lot of really shitty movies too, but I like the shitty ones too.
I think that's the charm to it, isn't it? Like, if you go back to like even 80s horror, it's so fucking cringy sometimes, but that's what makes it great. That's the charm to it, is, you know, it's meant to be, it's self-aware, I think, in many ways. It knows it's not going to win a fucking, you know, Oscar anytime soon. And it's not trying to. I think it's kind of the charm to it that it's just fun. You know, it's not
absolutely
not trying to be too serious, not trying to be too like fucking elite. It's like, okay, this is campy, and that's why we love it. So
absolutely.
I dig that.
Oh, so do I. I have such wonderful stories with like some of the coolest, you know, people. Like I've hung out with Norman Reedus, you know, when he was doing, when The Walking Dead was super, I guess it's still super popular. And who are some of the other, Freddy Krueger, I have a Jimmy Starr is the Shit video, and Freddy Krueger, you know, is doing like, goes, ah, ha, ha, Jimmy Starr is the Shit. And I used to do a lot of stuff with Tom Savini and Serena Vincent from Cabin Fever, and Jake Busey, who was in a lot of horror movies. And so I basically used to hang out with all of them, and it was so much fun. And then I moved to Pennsylvania, and I kind of got out of the whole thing for many years. And now that we moved back to California, and that Ron, my spouse, is doing a lot of horror stuff also, and I'm producing a lot of horror movies, we're kind of getting back into the whole thing again and hanging out with the whole crowd. It's so much fun. I love it.
I'm sure people remember Ron being on my show bitching about the heat. Yeah. He was so mad.
Pretty hot here.
He was so pissed about the fucking heat. He's like, you know it's hot when your balls are sweating.
It is, and it has been. Today's not too bad, but it went, I think it was up to 100 and, I don't know, we had a couple days at 126, 127. That's pretty hot.
Yeah, it's fucking brutal. And a lot of people were tripped out by the fact that we had several days here in Nova Scotia, Canada, that was exactly the same temperature at that time as California. Because I looked into it, because I had Ken Sagos coming on the show, and he's out in Cali, and I'm like, I wonder how hot it is versus here. And it was actually the same. It's just we have, you know, Celsius, you guys have Fahrenheit. So for us, it sounds pleasant, 29 degrees. And then when you convert it, it's like, oh my fuck, it's an oven.
Absolutely.
We get the illusion that it's not so bad, but it still sucks. It's
bad.
Well, yeah, when it's hotter than the underside of Satan's ball sack, you know it fucking, yeah, it's unpleasant.
So what are some of your favorite horror movies?
Oh man, I love Nightmare on Elm Street, obviously. Everyone knows that shit. Halloween is definitely another one. I'm a huge fan. I think anything Carpenter does is pretty fucking awesome. And Wes Craven, same thing. Everything he touched, I thought was pretty fucking cool.
I actually met both of them. I met Wes Craven and I met John Carpenter, but only for a second. So it wasn't like any, you know, long thing where I got to talk to them or anything, but they're both fantastic.
I even as a kid, went to back when Blockbuster was still around, a friend of mine, my neighbor and I, we got into the old black and white horror movies and started renting those just to kind of really get into them. Because I grew up like a huge fan of Vincent Price. So everything he did, I loved. And I was like, this goes beyond, you know, I mean, he did a lot of that as well. But we're talking like, I wanted to see Frankenstein versus Wolfman, shit like that. So we rented that. And I was like, dude, this is fucking awesome. I was so fascinated by the fact that there was a time this terrified people. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. No, absolutely.
And just how things evolved. You know what I mean? I thought it was very interesting. Yeah, you know, I got a few favorites. You know, I would say those were probably my top two. Halloween and Nightmare on Elm Street are like fucking definitely the top two. Friday the 13th is up there too, I would say. Not quite as much as the other two, but I do give them credit for how they kind of change things up every chance they got. So that kept it interesting. Even if it didn't turn out so great, everyone knows my policy. Fuck Roy, that imposter motherfucker. I didn't like that too much. I thought it was a cool concept, but I was like, what the fuck? The blue on the mask was a dead giveaway. It's not the same. And, you know, I fuck with Roy all the time. And, you know, and I always clarify to people, I'm not talking about the actor. I'm talking about the character. Because I say, Roy, your mom's a hoe, Roy. Get the fuck out of here. But I got nothing against the actor. It's just the character concept I thought was ridiculous. You know, finding out at the end, it's like, what the fuck? You know, but I love the idea. I love the concept that they did change it up so it's not so predictable. I think Jason Goes to Hell was the one that I thought was absolute garbage, though. That was just, the beginning and the end were great, but everything in between.
Well, that SpaceX Jason sucked too. I don't know. I don't like that. I watched it though. I watch all of them anyway. Like I'm a big Hellraiser fan, so I watch all the Hellraiser movies. I like those Wrong Turn movies, as terrible as they are. They're a lot of fun. And one of my favorite movies of all time is The Lost Boys. Like I was really good friends with Brooke McCarter and Corey Haim. And so
I love that movie.
So I'm a huge, like, that's probably like my number one movie is like Lost Boys, because I like freaking like love it. And then there's one movie. Have you ever seen one that freaks you? Like, there's one I only watched it once. I don't think I could watch it again. It's the only movie that actually really freaked me out, and that was Martyrs. Did you ever see Martyrs?
I have not yet.
Okay, that movie, and I'm not even religious, and that movie freaked me the fuck out so bad. It's not even, like, funny. Like, literally, you should see it, but basically, like, I don't even know if I remember the whole concept because it freaked me out, but somehow it was, like, it was because it was done through the church. You know, and they wanted to see how much pain somebody could withstand. And so, like, the movie, you know, basically is about how much pain you can stand. And so they basically, like, take all the skin off of this fucking, like, lady and, like, in the name of God and shit. And I was like, this is just way too fucking much for me. This shit is, it really freaked me out because literally she, like, was almost totally skinless, like, laying there. And it just freaked me out. And I don't get freaked out because most of the time I laugh and think they're fun, you know, or I get scared or it's suspenseful or something like that. But I recommend everybody, if they like horror movies, they should see it just to see it because it's so freaky. But I probably wouldn't watch it again.
Yeah, right. I got a few like that too, where it's like, holy fuck, that was heavy. There was something about, what was that fucking movie? Sinister?
Oh yeah, that was a good movie. It wasn't terrible.
It was good, but it was so dark and fucked up. Whenever there's kids involved, like I felt filthy after watching that. I was like, there's something not right about that shit. And I was like, I don't know if I could sit through that twice because that was dark as fuck. I think I get too wrapped up in like the details of as they explain some of the kills and shit that kids did this, and it's like my mind just runs with it and I get really like
in. I can't do the kids one, like, so I don't really like the ones with kids in it. When I was growing up, my dad wouldn't let me see. He would be the one who would take me to the horror movies, but he would not let me see him if like little, like young kids were killed. Like, did you ever see When a Stranger Calls? Not the remake, but the original.
Yeah
Like, that movie freaked me out because like it could really happen where the crazy guy could really be in your house and killing your kids. And another movie, though, series that I liked a lot, though, was Phantasm. I'm friends with most of the people in Phantasm. And you might be too young to even know what Phantasm is.
I know what that is, yeah.
With the fucking sphere with the thing and it hooks in your head and stuff. So I'm friends with the Baldwin guy who's the star of it. And I used to know the old guy who played the walking tall man, the tall man or whatever.
That fucking tall man. It sounds fucking hilarious to people. Because it doesn't sound threatening at all, but he's a creepy motherfucker, man.
No, he's creepy. Noah's, what's his name? Scrim. Angus Scrim. His name was Angus Scrim. I met him at a convention, and he was really cool, actually.
That movie was pretty fucked.
Especially, like, the first one. Like, then, you know, there's 10 of them later. They're not as scary, but
yeah,
the first ones are always best.
They tend to get watered down after a while, I find, you know, if they do too many.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I think the original usually needs to be what it is. Like, sometimes it's best to leave it alone, especially when you have situations where you get too many cooks in the kitchen or too many different companies or directors taking over. A lot of people, I mean, Nightmare on Elm Street 2, for example, when Wes was kind of done with the whole thing, that's when people started to kind of say, what the fuck? Because it took a different turn because it's someone else's vision for it. And just a few inconsistencies where it was like, you know, Freddy comes into the real world without being brought in. And it's like, how the fuck did that happen? That you know, in the original, that's just not how that works. And, you know, weird little things, but it never took me out of it. I still love all of them.
Well, I think the third one is the one I like. After the first one, I think the third one is the one I like the best.
Yes, that's my favorite after the first, definitely. I think we agree on that completely.
Yeah, and I think that... So what did you think then when they did the remake of it? I mean, yeah, that's like 10 years ago when they did the remake with the kid from Bad News Bears.
Yeah, you know, I was skeptical as shit because with that being like something I grew up with, I had two incidents, and I'm not going to bullshit anybody. I remember, no disrespect to poor Rob, but I remember saying when I found out he was doing the Halloween remake, I was like, oh my God, if he fucks this up, I'm going to find out where this fucking cat lives, and I'm going to hoof him in the nuts. You know, and I went to see it the night it came out, and I was like, oh.
And I thought he did a pretty good job with the first one. The second one sucked, but the first one was good.
I loved the first one. The second one, I was like, whoa, that's different. It got a little bit artsy for my taste where I didn't. And the fact that they changed the kid, I was like, nah, I don't like that. I understand the reason, but it just tipped me out of it that it's not even dang. And I'm like, nah, I don't like that now. Then with the remake of Nightmare on Elm Street, it was the same thing. We're like, if they fuck this up. And then
I thought it was like, okay. I didn't think it was great, but I didn't think it was terrible. It was okay.
Right. I went into it. I went and saw that also the night it came out. Like when it comes to Halloween or Nightmare on Elm Street, if something comes out in the theater, I'm there the fucking night it opens. No excuses, no bullshit. Because fucking those are my two big ones. And I went into it skeptical because the person, it's like, I happen to know that Johnny Depp, when he auditioned for the original, this guy went with him in audition, didn't even get a part. And now he's playing the part, you know what I mean? And I'm like, oh fuck. You know, I don't know about this. But I went to see it and I was like, I'm going into this with no like pre fucking formed opinion. And I'm not going to kind of attach it to the original. I'm going to watch this as its own thing and see how I feel about it. And I was like, you know what? If you view it as its own thing, it's not bad.
No, I didn't think it was bad. And that guy who played Freddy Krueger, I forgot his name, but he's a big actor.
Like, yeah. From my
childhood, he was in tons of stuff, and he was in the Watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good actor, so I didn't think that part. I don't know if I loved the whole cast that they did, but you know, it was okay. It wasn't terrible, let's put it that way.
Right.
You know, I'm a big fan of the first one. I remember we had Lisa Wilcox on our show. I think it was Lisa Wilcox. Is Lisa Wilcox the one who gets taken yep. down in bed? So like Ron had never knows who anybody is when they come on, and so we brought him on, and he's talking to her, and he's like, he goes, there's this one horror movie where the girl gets like taken by the knived hands through the bed, you know, and gets killed. He's like, it was terrible. And she's like, yeah, that was me. And he was like, holy shit. He just doesn't do the horror thing well at all. And like last night, let's see, was it last night or two nights ago, Halloween was on TV, and I flipped on and I was watching for a few minutes, and he saw like four dead bodies in a row, and he was like, yeah, we can't watch this. I loved it. What did you think then of the latest Halloween, the one that came out last year? Was that last year?
2018. Yeah, I bought it. I love it. I saw it in the theater, and I was like, oh, this is good. And then it bummed people out that the next installment is delayed a year because people are just dying for it, man. And, you know, I was like, well, shit. I was looking forward to it too, but don't rush it if it's not going to make money.
It's going to make money.
You know, if you know, the theaters are going to be restricting how many people can go in and bullshit like that. You're not going to make what you could. So I understand them delaying it a year. It's pissing people off. They want it on like video on demand and bullshit like that, but that's not the same. If you put so much work into it, and I mean, you would know, you put work into a fucking film, you want it seen in the theater, not on video on demand.
Yeah, if it's good enough that you know that you can get it in theaters, you want it in theaters.
Right. And the way they're hyping it up, they're pretty proud of it. They're saying it's going to be brutal. It's going to be, you know, pretty intense. I love 2018. I thought it was great. It had little Easter eggs from the original and from the third movie, even. The masks from the third movie that had nothing to do with Myers fucking right. In it. And I thought that was cool. And yeah, so I loved it. And, you know, to your point too, with the Nightmare on Elm Street remake, what I felt they fucked up on a little bit was they started off the killing immediately. So you had no time to even give a shit about the characters. So who gives a fuck if they die?
I'm that way with a lot of movies, though. A lot of these indie movies that we see and the people get killed, you know, and you're like, fuck, I don't give a shit. You're not invested in them at all because you don't give a shit because they don't, you know, there's no character development. So when they get killed, it's like not a big deal. Whereas in, you know, like the better movies, a lot of the better movies, they do that. But you're right. In the Nightmare on Elm Street, like, yeah, you couldn't give a shit.
Right. Because they didn't give you a reason to. They didn't really give you an intro to the characters. I love that, you know, have that first kill for sure, because that just kind of made you think this is going to start to finish be like just fast paced. But you got to have some kind of reason to give a fuck about these characters, especially when they're not the ones from the original. These are supposed to be new people.
Right.
So it's like, and you know, if it was Robert Englund playing Freddy, like if Robert Englund played Freddy in this remake, I think people would be like, who gives a fuck? Kill them all.
But you're right.
But it's not.
They replaced him.
Right. So like, you got to start from the beginning. Whereas I think they had to go into it knowing that people are going to shit on this anyway, because it's not Robert Englund playing Freddy. So they didn't really do due diligence on that. And I feel like this guy did a great job with like keeping the character familiar, but making it his own at the same time. I think there's a right balance that you have to.
Yeah, find. I agree.
I can't imagine that's easy by any stretch of the imagination.
And anybody stepping into a role, you know, that's already been established by somebody. I know they did a new Hellraiser one where they used a different guy to play Pinhead and it totally bombed, you know, because I think you have to be careful when you go replacing iconic people, you know, in something, you know, for the audience, because the horror movie audience, you know, if you're a horror fan, you're usually a horror fan for life, you know, so like even if you're 60, you remember who played those roles when you were like younger and you want to still, you know, you have a loyalty, there's like a loyalty, you know, to those actors and stuff. So I think that you have to be careful when you do it. And it's got to be like thought out or it doesn't have to need to be, because I mean, I also think there's enough good writers in the world that, you know, we don't need to keep rehashing, you know, all these old things, let things lie. Cause there's a lot of stuff I read about that are coming out that like they redid The Craft and it's coming out through Blumhouse at the end of this month on the 27th. I love The Craft. I met Fruza Balk, the other girl, Rachel True, is a friend of mine from it. I think it's one of the funnest, coolest witch movies ever. And like, I'm terrified to see how they butchered it. Cause I'm like, oh my God, I bet they really like fucked it up.
Right. That was a great movie actually. Yeah, fuck, especially for the 90s. I mean, that was pretty cool. I kind of was intrigued when I read that. I'm like, but then I saw who's doing it, and I'm like, well, they're doing the Halloween 2018. They've done that. They've proven themselves there. So maybe there's hope, but
it's, I don't know. It's weird, though, because like I thought they did a great job with The Invisible Man, but I also thought that Fantasy Island was like a dog turd. It was terrible. I was upset that I paid like to go see it, but I thought The Invisible Man was excellent. It was like really good. Like, so I think they're like one of those groups of people who they're like a 50-50, you know, 50-50 hit or miss. They do one good one and one shitty one. So we'll have to see, you know, because their last good one was The Invisible Man. I'm hoping that, you know, that it doesn't mean the next one's shitty and it's going to be The Craft, because I love The Craft. There's parts of it that I watch over and over, like when I'm just like doing work and stuff and I just want to see something. You know, there's parts of it that I like to watch just over and over.
I love that. I mean, I'm the same way. When I do art, sometimes I'll just throw on like a horror movie for the background noise. And I just do horror art from like 80s shit. I love it. I'll spend hours doing it and it feels like maybe 20 minutes and it'll be like 4 hours have gone by. Another person I would love to get on my fucking show eventually is Bruce Campbell, because that dude is funny as hell. I love his work. Evil Dead was a great fucking movie for its time, especially. What they did with it, I thought was pretty cool. You know, it's definitely unique, to say the least. It got fucking more comedy based as it went on after the first one, but that remake, holy shit.
I didn't even see it. Like, I like the Evil Dead. I'll tell you, like, I got myself in trouble with Bruce Campbell. Because I lived in Florida and I was an extra on Burn Notice, which is like the TV show that he was one of the stars of. And it was lunchtime and he was sitting at a table with Jeffrey Donovan. And I didn't know who Jeffrey Donovan was, because like, I don't think before Burn Notice anybody knew who Jeffrey Donovan was. And so I walked over to the table, which is a no-no, and just sat down and started trying to talk to them. Because, you know, I'm like, I've been interviewing celebrities and I've been friends with famous people for 25 years. So, like, I didn't think about the fact that, oh, you're an extra in this movie and you're not allowed to talk to the talent. I'm Jimmy Starr. I just walk and talk. And so I almost got thrown off the thing for, like, going over there to talk to them, because it was, I guess, a really big, like, no-no. And he wasn't really, like, cool about it. He could have been, hey, you know, you're not allowed to do that. You know, maybe we can talk another time or something. But he kind of, like, made a big deal that I had crossed the line. And he wasn't really cool about it. And so I saw him at a bunch of conventions after that, but I never actually walked up to like meet him or whatever, because I thought, you know, you're cool and you got a great reputation and shit, but you were a dick to me, so fuck it.
that sucks to hear that, because
but I think he's cool, and I think if you got him on your show, you'd probably like love him, and I'd probably love him if I saw him again in another situation. Right. But he was just my, you know, because I was totally 100% in the wrong, so I really shouldn't hold it against him. But I'm also, you know, that's where the little ego thing comes in. Like, I'm Jimmy Starr. Like, I don't expect, you know, like, I don't pay to go to places. You know, I expect to get comped when I go to places and stuff like that. Not like restaurants and stuff, but like if I go to events, like we don't pay to go to events.
Right.
You know, we contact them, tell them who we are, and they usually, you know, they let us in. We walk red carpets of every movie premiere and stuff, and we don't usually have a problem. And so I got a little bit of an ego in that respect that I don't pay to. If I have to pay for it, I'm not going to it, because if I had to pay for it, fuck. I mean, we get invited when it's non-COVID. You know, sometimes you get invited to 2 events a day you could never afford, and you have to make $1 million to be able to pay to go to all these things. So.
Yeah,
cheap. You have to do the same thing. Like when you're going out there, you have to let people know who you are, that you want to go to the event, and you should get comped as media, if nothing else. Oh, shit. I don't know who's at my door, but I guess I'm gonna let the bell ring.
I can pause if you want.
Pause one second. Let me see who's there.
So yeah, I totally agree with you, and I was kind of cracking up at your statement about being called at like 11 at night, because that's this fucking industry, isn't it? I don't think people realize that this is what happens. Like, this industry, you don't sleep, because I've gotten texts at 11:30, 12, 1 in the morning, fucking, hey, can you put this person on your show on this day? I'm like, sure, like, fuck it. You know, it happens all the time, and I'm like responding immediately. And I know with me especially, there's the time zone difference. I don't think anyone really fucking realizes or cares at this point, because I'm so accommodating, and I'm always up anyway. So I'm like, sure, and I respond immediately. So it doesn't matter what time it is, because if you get a response immediately, it's like, okay, it's not too late then. You know,
I used to do that, but now I got it set up that like at night Well, that was different. I was at a convention, so that's different. But now in my everyday life, like I don't leave the, like I leave the phone in my office. So once I quit, I'm done, and I leave it. And if somebody calls or texts, you know, they just get responded to the next day because it gets to be too much for me otherwise. Because I get so many of them, and like you know, people, everybody wants to come on the show and everybody wants to be on it and stuff like that. And you can't make everybody happy all the time. I mean, you do a lot more shows than I do. I only do one show a week. You know, so I only have two places for two people a week, eight people a month. You know, you do a lot more shows, so you're more open to having more of it, but I just don't have time.
I'm not sure when that started for me, but it was just out of nowhere. It was like I went from one show a week to like every fucking day is a show. just getting people on. I got three today.
Yes, I know you do.
So,
because Dag is one of them.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, man. That's gonna be cool. I'm looking forward to all of them. Like, I was super stoked about this. I'm like, finally. And then, you know, fucking immediately after this, I got another one. I'm like, yes, fucking, that's gonna be cool. And then later tonight, so I get a little bit of a breather, and then it's back to it. And I'm like, man, this is gonna be cool, you know.
No, you gotta have fun. Let's face it, life is short, so if you get an opportunity to do something that you like to do, you know, you gotta do it. Take every opportunity. I always tell everybody always complains to me, which I don't know why. It's not like life is easy for me either, but everybody always complains about how this didn't happen. I'm always like, walk through the doors that open. If the door opens, make sure you don't miss your opportunity to go through it.
Amen. You know, and like I said to Sherry Nelson the other day, I said, man, I take nothing for granted. Nothing's fucking owed to me. So I appreciate every bit that I get, every publication, every interview, every, you know, person requesting to be on my show. I appreciate every last bit of it. And, you know, until it's done. So you know, and I'll be able to look back at it fondly and be like, man, I did something, you know. I dig that. I know that some people get jaded and they kind of take it for granted. They feel like it's owed to them, and then they bitch and complain about it. And it's like, you could be working some fucking factory somewhere for minimum wage. You know, I've done it. So
I have too. So the fact that I get to support myself doing the things that I love doing, for me, is all the everything in the world. You know, that I'm my own boss. You know, also though, everything like makes or breaks on me too. If I make a bad decision, that's also on me. But if I make a good decision, it's on me. And you know, life is a series of events and learning experiences anyway. So I'm just happy that I get to do it, and I don't have somebody yelling at me from above saying, you didn't do this and you didn't that, or you're 5 minutes late, or anything like that. You know, it makes me fucking happy.
Right. You know, you're not making someone rich while they keep you poor.
That's right.
You know, and the thing I loved about being a tattoo artist, there's a love-hate relationship with that. The love came from the fact that you get so many people, and while you're working, of course, they're going to give you their story. They're going to, you know, talk. And I was fascinated by that. I loved meeting new people, getting their story, and you get some really fascinating shit. What I hated about it was, from an art perspective, as much as you love art, it doesn't mean you're on all the fucking time.
Right.
So, you know, and you don't love doing what you're told to do. You want to just do what the mood fucking brings. I love doing horror art. I love doing retro art, shit like that. So when I draw, I'll do whatever the mood is. But I'm doing it because I want to, not because it's my job. The second it becomes a job, I don't like it anymore.
Yeah, I agree.
So, you know what I mean? And so that I didn't care for. And then the fact that everyone wants to save money. So all of a sudden you got 90 some best friends and fucking cousins coming out the woodwork that never wanted nothing to do with you, but now they can get free fucking tattoos, right? So they want to get close and be your best fucking friend, and, you know, fuck that. So I decided I was done with that bullshit.
I agree with that 100%.
Right. And this industry is no different. You know, I'm sure you've had experiences. So this gives me that opportunity to have the story side that I love so much of tattooing without having to like burn myself out with doing shit I don't want to do. I literally get to just sit and talk to really cool people, fascinating people, hear their story. And quite often it's so similar to my own in many ways that it's like, wow, it really is a small fucking world. You know what I mean? And I think that's awesome.
I think it's funny how people do that though. Like, and I guess that's just human nature and they all do that. Cause I was talking to somebody else earlier today, just about how, cause now I'm producing a bunch of movies and all these people that I haven't spoken to in years who don't fucking, you know, wish me a happy birthday or anything, you know, they're all hitting me up because my IMDb number went way up 2 weeks ago to like 6,000, which is really high. And I didn't really even know why, but I'm producing all these movies and all of a sudden I'm getting 50 messages from people. Oh, you know, can I work on the film? Can I have a role? Can I do this? Can I do that? I'm like, fucking, I haven't heard from you in fucking 10 years. Get the fuck out of here.
Right. You know, and then if you pull that, like, you stand up for yourself, you're suddenly antisocial.
Yeah, or you're a dick. Now they're like, oh, it went to your head or something. No, it didn't go to my head. I'm just fucking, like, working like everybody else. But,
right,
you know, just come around to get what you can get, you know, for me. Like if we're friends and stuff and I have an opportunity to put you in something, obviously, like, I would do it. But you haven't said hello to me in 10 years. We've been Facebook friends and you don't comment on one thing or like one thing. And now all of a sudden, you know, you want to, like, be in something because you think I'm going to, like, do something that would help you. I was like, fuck you, you know. If you're a friend, you're a friend. Not like a friend only when I can do something for you.
Right. I feel like social media is like the washing machine. Everything comes out in the wash, right? People show
their absolutely. Oh my God, I agree 100%.
So, you know, I could post anything that I've been published in, and the same people that don't even acknowledge it are the ones that come to me like, hey, so this financial issue came up, and, you know, of course they want me to bail them out, but they don't support a fucking thing I do. No matter how cool it is that, you know, somebody else acknowledged me or whatever, get published in something. And I know that happens, you know, a fair amount, but it's like, you don't support a fucking lick of it, but you want to come to me for money.
Yeah. You
know, like, fuck that and fuck you. So I told Sherry Nelson the other day, like, straight up, I said, you don't get it. Like, you think I'm exaggerating, but I'll tell you right now, like, you're one of like 8 people that has my phone number. That's how fucking reclusive I can be. And it's because of people that are like that. You know what I mean? If I give my number to somebody, it's because I fully, like, trust them and I let them into my life as a personal, you know, relationship, not business. And so I'm like, trust me. When I do that shit, that says a lot, you know, because
same way, because I don't give mine out either. I give my email out freely, but not my phone number.
Right. You know, so there's literally like 8 people that have mine. That's fucked up. But it's, you know, again, to your point, watch social media, watch your fucking post likes and things like that. See who's really supportive and see who's not. And the ones that aren't will be the first to ask you for shit.
Yeah, and they ask me all the time. And I used to try to help people out, but it got to the point where everybody was making money but me. And I was just like, yeah, I really just can't do this. You know, I have a family to support and mortgage payments and car payments and stuff. I just can't afford to do all this, you know, stuff for people who have no interest in ever helping me back. And it's has worked really well. It has burned a few bridges. But you know what? Hey, if you're only in there for the good times and not the fucking bad times, I don't need you either.
Right. I feel like the bridges it burns ain't worth crossing anyway.
So. I agree. I agree with you 100%. And I think that, I think you especially, because like your career, I mean, we both had done a bunch of variety of different kinds of things. I think you're a little bit more artistic than I am because I couldn't draw. Like, from what I hear from Eileen, you're like one of the best illustrators she said she's ever seen.
Wow.
And we know a lot of fucking people, you know, who are into it all. So she told me that you're absolutely phenomenal. And so the fact that you do that and wrestling and like all the different things, you know, that you've done in your lifetime to get you to the point really where you are right now.
Yeah, man, I'm still tripping out. It's been about almost 5 years now and it still weirds me out. I went to a bulk store to get some fucking nuts, you know, for my weightlifting diet and shit. You gotta have those good fats and what have you. And this dude just like holds his phone up and starts filming me blatantly And I'm so not used to this still. I don't have that ego, right? So I'm like, does this motherfucker think I'm stealing shit? And then it clicked with me. He knows who you are, dumbass. I'm like, oh. And then he fucked off. And I was like, I feel bad now because, like, dude, you could have come and talked to me. I could have, like, you know, had a conversation with you, did a picture with you, video, whatever. Like, I'm not that guy that's gonna be like a total dick to you. But he just felt like the best thing to do is keep a good distance, start filming. And my first thought is, does he think I'm like shoplifting at a bulk store? Like I'm trying to steal peanuts or something? Like, really? And then I'm like, you're an idiot. He realizes like who you are and he's kind of tripping out. And I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, I'm just a dude, you know, that has a cool job and I get to do interesting things. I'm not better than anybody else. So I don't fucking understand why somebody's like filming me. Like, holy shit, look who I saw. It's weird. It's so fucking weird.
It gets bigger. It'll only get bigger. You know, like I'm real fortunate because I run with a crowd of people who everybody's kind of well known. I don't want to say famous because famous is kind of like a weird word to me. But like I know a lot of people who are really well known, you know, whether they're in movies or television or music, you know, because I work with a lot of famous musicians and stuff. But they're all really cool, you know. The only people who aren't really cool in entertainment most of the time I find out is most of these reality star people. Like they have like 15 minutes of fame and they think that they are like something fucking special. And I'm like, you have like no skills whatsoever. So I don't really, you know, get it. But other than that, because like when you meet the people and the really, especially the really famous ones, they're so humble and they're so fucking happy to be, you know, have all created all the opportunities they've created. So almost all the really famous people are really cool. It's just the people who aren't really famous, who think they're famous, that are assholes.
Right. I agree with that 1,000,000,000%. Because I, you know, am very good friends with a lot of them. And then there's these, like, I think the irony of reality show is hilarious because it's scripted. So first of all, it's not.
I know.
It's not reality at all. And second of all, if you knew a thing or two about reality, you wouldn't think you're like, you know, the shit because you're getting your 15 minutes. When I'm friends with people that, you know, have done this for a long time and they're the most down-to-earth people, you know. Yeah. they realize too, like, I'm just a person with a cool job. I get to do what I want to do and it's a blessing, and I'm not gonna shit on people for wanting my time or attention or a conversation or whatever. I mean, fuck, I don't mean to out poor CJ Graham, a friend of mine, but I was busting his balls a little bit about how it was funny when I booked him for my show, and he's a friend of mine, and it's like, check with my wife, text my wife because she does my scheduling.
So what was CJ Graham? Is he a reality show guy?
CJ Graham is Jason Voorhees in Friday the 13th Part 6.
Oh, I knew the name. I couldn't figure out how I knew the name. Okay, yes,
so,
okay.
So I was like, really? I gotta ask Jason Voorhees' wife if he can come out and play on October. You know, sometime in October. And he's like, dude, she does my scheduling. She knows better than I do what's going on. And I'm like, amen, brother. I fucking know that all too well. Because my schedule is a mixture of emails, texts that I got while I was on a 3-day vacation, like balls deep in beer. So I don't even remember. I just remember agreeing to shit because I was excited about it. But I don't remember exactly the dates and times. And now it's so buried under all these other texts that I'm really riding on like last minute. Oh, by the way, you have this person. I'm like, yeah, I do. I'll be ready. Don't worry.
I actually went 4 days ago. You can't see it because of the background. But I went and got an actual like calendar that I could start, because there's so many things that I like. Eileen sends me these messages and she's like, yeah, you have to do this today. And I'm like, oh yeah, it's not on my calendar. I fucking forgot. Now I can't do it. I got something else scheduled or something. And so.
Right. I mean, she asked
me. I literally just got one.
She asked me on my vacation if I'd be open to do guest spots. I'm like, I always do. I'm just selective about what shows I do because I've had bad experiences, like mostly with these little indie fucks, you know, and that were supposed to be friends of mine. And it's like they try to downplay and like just disrespectful as fuck. So
yes.
I'm not doing that shit anymore. But she's like, oh, what about Jimmy's show and this show and that show, and I'm like, I will fucking do all of those. But I don't remember for the life of me if she actually booked anything for your show or nothing. Like, I was like, I may have agreed to something and not gotten a date, or if it ever happened, I don't know. But I was like, I'm ready to go whenever the fuck I'm hit with a text saying you're doing this today, by the way, just a reminder. I'm like, I'll be ready, don't you worry. You know, I'll get shit. Literally last time I got something 5 minutes before you got Joe still today. I'm like, oh shit. So I'm like, all right, I'll be ready. And I fucking did it, and it was a great show. And then Joe Castro was like, I just woke up, dude. And I was like, dude, I just found out 5 minutes ago that I'm not done for the day. I still have you to do. You know, fucking, it's a hectic business.
Well, I think that Joe Castro is a great guy. He's becoming a good friend of mine, actually. And I really respect everything that they're doing. So he's like really cool. And I think that actually too, like, so who do you got on Wednesday?
Wednesday? Holy shit. Good question. I've got it written down on my PC somewhere. in Word, I wrote down the schedule. Not sure who I got Wednesday. I know tomorrow I've got the Swedish cat from Jonas from the Beast from fucking whatever the fuck that movie is called. Jesus.
Jan Birch? No, not Jan Birch. No, oh, Jonas Volker from the Beast.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jan's coming on too as well. Not tomorrow though, I don't think. Fucking Wednesday, Jesus. I got it written down, that's all I know, but it's so hectic. I've got fucking like all month. I'm booked till like November 2nd and I still have like incoming guests, so pretty cool.
Now, well, look at your schedule and but you'd have to let me know quick if you, because I just had a cancellation on my show, so I'm, and now I have to go find a guest for Wednesday. But if you're not doing it at the time that my show is, which is 12:15 p.m. Pacific time, I don't know what time that is for you. What time is it where you are?
Right now it is 5:55 p.m.
Oh, you're 4 hours difference than me.
Yeah.
Fuck, dude, that's fucking weird. Okay. Well, I just got an opening right now. While we've been on this phone call, I have to go get a guest. So look at your schedule, and if you're at 12:15 my time, if you're open for 45 minutes or so, let me know, and we'll bring you on the show Wednesday, and I'll make a graphic and stuff and say that you're coming on the show. And if not, we'll bring you on another time. But let me know, because I got to go get a guest.
Hell yeah. I mean, consider it done right now, and I'll check before the end of the night. And if there's something booked, I'll let you know. But I doubt it.
Okay, so then email me a picture that you'd like of yourself then, too, and I'll make a little promo for it, and we'll bring you on Wednesday. It's on StreamYard.
Oh, StreamYard.
It's live, though. Mine's live.
That's fine. Just let me know the language barriers.
No, there's no language barriers. We try not to say cunt.
Yeah, that runs people the wrong way.
But we cuss a lot. I mean, we don't try not to do it too much, but I have the lady who voices. I have the lady who voices one of the characters in South Park coming on as a voice artist. She also does all kinds of comic books, but I don't know what they are. Like, she does all kinds of voice characters of cartoons and stuff, but South Park's one I know.
That's awesome. I love
it. She has a new series she's trying to push called The Adventures of Puss and Dick.
Of course he does. He was involved in South Park. Of course he does.
So I'm looking forward to that. But let me know and send me a picture, and I'll get it out there, and we'll bring you on Wednesday. I'll send you the link and stuff.
Sounds great, man.
All right, because it's live. It'll be fun, because that way I don't have to go look for a guest, and that way we can shoot the shit. It'll be fun.
So committed to live shows. I did Derek's Suck It podcast show. It was live, and I had to piss for like an hour. And I didn't fucking let on. And we did it like a 2-hour show. it's fucking brutal. But I committed. I did not let on. And we got through it. So,
Send me a picture and a bio and we'll do it. Just so I have some shit, the talking points to come out to make sure I bring up. And we should tell everybody too who's watching, if this part doesn't get edited out, everybody needs to go check out my blog, jimmystarsworld.com. It has all the information about the show, all the information about World Star PR, and it also has like my blog, which is number 50 of the top 100 entertainment blogs in the world, and I'm trying to get it up, so I need more people to go to it.
Yeah, man. Anything else you want to promote? I got another guest in like 2 minutes.
So. No, go. We're good. We're good, dude. Like, let me know about Wednesday for sure, but let me know today because otherwise I don't want to be scrambling at the last second for a guest.
I wouldn't do that.
And it'll be a lot of fun, and I want to thank you for having me on. It was a lot of fun, and we'll talk to you soon.
Dude, it's an absolute honor. You don't want to promote the fact that you kicked my ass in the top 50 fucking shows in the world because I'm number 10, you're number fucking one. You're not going to rub that in my face a little bit? Come on.
No, I've been around a lot longer than
you. I know, yeah. I was like, you've been doing this, you know, longer than me. So, I mean, obviously.
I'm 13. I'm on the air for 13 years. So.
There you go. So, I mean, hats off to you. This August was my first full year. So.
Yeah, but you're moving up. People like your show, though. I have to tell you, like, even Rob, when he got off your show, he's like, that's like the best one out of all the indie podcasts that I've done. He was like, that guy was fun. He knows how to talk. He doesn't ask the same shitty questions everybody else asks. You know, so he actually like enjoyed it a lot. And that's a big compliment from Ron because he doesn't give them.
I love Ron, man. He was great. He was fucking hilarious.
He'll be there Wednesday, so you'll get to rehash with him. All right, go do your next show and I'll talk to you later.
All right, brother, thanks a lot for coming on. I appreciate your time.
Bye-bye.
So that was the one and only motherfucking Jimmy Starr. Fucking awesome guy, great friend, super cool guy. I love him. I love Ron Russell. They're both amazing human beings, hilarious as hell, and I'm proud to call them my friend. You know, honestly, both of them good friends of mine, very sweet people. I'm so stoked to finally have had them on. I gotta get the two of them on at the same time because they're both hilarious together. They just feed off each other, man. Anyways, bro, I will catch you guys later. I have so many more shows to prepare, and I hope you're digging this Halloween season so far. It's been a blast thus far, and there's so much more to go. I'll catch your asses later.